Certainly good to be with you this morning. I wanted to mention something. We were at Elk Creek Church yesterday. Just a quick update. Many of you know that Elder Steve Porter had that terrifying stroke not too long. Well, it's been a little while. No use of his left arm. It just hangs and can't see much out of his left eye. And his left leg is really weak. Brother David Lee from the Borger Church picked him up and took him to that meeting. He was asked, would you like to take part? Well, he'll try. And how many of us have said that? Even me this morning. So we wheeled his wheelchair up, and he said, no, I'm going to get in the stand. First time since I'd stroke, we helped him into the stand, and he kind of leaned on it and preached for 30 minutes. Wonderful blessing, but a point he was making to us through that, he compared himself to Job, and that's, Brother Steve's not a subject, but I just want to give you an update on the blessings. He said, you know, when I went into surgery to have that heart surgery, old Satan came in there too, but the Lord says, you can't touch his life, just like he did with Job. Where the blessing come, those people in that assisted living, nursing home, rehab, know he's an old Baptist preacher. And he is busy all during the week with people knocking on his door, getting him to give that comforting message to the people in the nursing home. His older brother Talmadge gave us the same report. And he sings with them. So he is using him in a manner that we don't think about sometimes. But it's a real blessing just to give you an update on him. He's still, he's pastor at the Paducah Church. Can't go there yet. He just can't drive or any of that. But that's wonderful news as far as that goes. I'm not going to take too much time. Brother Gail just said introduction means 45 minutes. I use a different clock, Brother Gail, on that. It's just something I want us, if nothing else, to think about something. On the news this morning, I heard about the Palestinians and the Israelis and all that big conflict that's going on. And let's look at the first chapter of the book of Matthew, the first verse, because that's something that's so, all of us know, it's the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. Israel, when they're in the United Nations, talking about this is our land, we belong this because of the lineage to Abraham, which this verse starts there. Palestinians say, wait a second, our lineage is to Abraham too. So why do you have a special right to claim Jerusalem as your capital? Because East Jerusalem belongs to the Palestinians, the Arabs, even right now. The West Bank of the Jordan River, the Palestinians, the Arabs control. So that big debate, but let's look and see what the Bible says real quickly. How in the world can the Arabs and the Israelis, the Hebrews, go back to Abraham in debate and claim that that land belongs to each one of them? To do that, let's go start with the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, there's just too much to cover there. But Abram was told by God to get he and his kindred out of the country. They were going into Canaan's land. Get out of this country because God was going to make him a great nation. Well, Abram at that time was 70 years old, you know. But by the time that they moved into Canaan's land, he was 75. That's my age, folks. So get you and your family and move all of them in out of this country because the promise was first made when he was 70. We're going to make you a great nation. Remember later he says it's the sand of the sea and the stars of heaven. So Abram had a problem. I want you to think about this. All the miracles that are involved through the lineage that's talked about in Matthew. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Not just brute force, as you see from the other side, but those miracles, because God had made a promise that that would occur. So at 75, he moved his he and his family into the land of Canaan. He said, the Lord told him, you're going to possess all this, and your seed will be numbered as great as he talked about. Abram's problem was his wife, Sarah, could not bear any children. She was barren. So Abram, bless his heart, waited 10 years. At 85 years old, he and Sarah thought, Lord's going to need some help. You know, I think we're going to help the Lord. So this bondwoman, Sarah said, the Lord said your lineage was going to go on, but I'm 85 years old now. So how is that going to happen? Let's get Hagar, this bondwoman. She'll bear the child to make sure Abram's lineage continues on through there. Big mistake, folks. That just didn't work very well all through there. So Sarah, and Hagar had a child whose name was Ishmael. And, we're beginning the lineage to split here in just a second to see how it's traced back to Abram at this point. So Ishmael would say, well, he's going to be a wild man. He became an archer and all of that type of thing that you can read here. And it's just too much to cover in just in 10 minutes here, in a few minutes. So anyway, here the Lord says, no, Abram, you're now Abraham, the father of many nations, it's going to be from your loins. Well, here he was 90 years old when he was told that. Sarah was 90 years old. Abraham is 99. So think of that age. He'd been waiting ever since he was 75 to see that fulfillment promise. So Isaac, well, first thing, Abraham laughed. Sarah laughed in her heart, wouldn't admit it, but the Lord knew. I think here I'm 99 years old, and that promise is finally fulfilled from all of that time. Ishmael was born when he was 86, now he's 99. So Isaac was born, because she was born barren. Quickly on up this change, how in the world can the Palestinians relate back to Abraham when Ishmael was born from Abram? But they say, no, not Abram, Abraham. And this is, I want you to think about the nations, Arab nations, which lineage are they going to follow? Well, Isaac, there's so many miracles appeared. Remember when Abraham was told, take Isaac, thy son, thine only son, and take him up and sacrifice him at the altar? I think there was a hope that Abraham had, because when those two wood bearers followed him at the base of the mountain, put that load upon Isaac to go up to be sacrificed, what did he tell those that were at the bottom of the mountain? I and my son are going up to worship and shall return. So he said, we're going to return. Even though his guidance was, he got up early and left to sacrifice his son. And we know that the Lord prepared that lamb. What if Isaac, that lineage, would have stopped right there? Another miracle. But let's go on very, very quickly here. Isaac had another problem. Here's another miracle that was going to occur, because Rebecca, Isaac's wife, was barren. She couldn't have any children. Well, so where's the lineage in now? She did. She had twins, Jacob and Esau. And there's two nations in thy womb. One will serve the other. I want you to watch the split. This is where the Palestinians go back to Abraham. So Jacob, and Esau. Ishmael had 12 sons. First, they were called the 12 princes, in the 36th chapter, I think it is, of Genesis, lays out his lineage. But he had 12 sons and one daughter. Guess who history says, the Bible says, that daughter married Esau. Ishmael's only daughter married Esau. That's where they connect the lineage through the Palestinians. They say, all the way back to Ishmael through his daughter to Esau, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. So they said, no, we can claim Abraham too, not just Abram. So they're claiming through that lineage Abraham. And it's a big debate, and we know that's the lineage that you see that can be traced out in that book of Matthew. Remember, Matthew was a Jew, and he was writing to the Jews, laying out those 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 more from David under the carrying into Babylonian captivity about 606 B.C. David, in 970 B.C., changed the kingship over to Solomon, his son. So there's a big lineage there. And then 14 more generations all the way from David to Christ himself. Now, when you begin looking at those two lineages, they're split now, technically back not to Abram, but to Abraham, with using their own argument. Remember, the seed of Abraham is a blessed seed. What is it, Jeremiah 49:10, I believe, says Esau's seed is spoiled. The Bible says his seed is spoiled, for Jacob's seed is blessed. And to the, Abraham, Jeremiah 3:15, Abraham and his seed were the promises made, not the seeds as of many, but the seed of one, which is Christ. If we're looking, and the Jews today look at the seeds of Abraham, because the seeds of Abraham are the natural Jew. The seed of Abraham is Christ himself, and that's how that Matthew began, it started. Now, how in the world can we look and say, don't you look at the Ishmaelites? Remember Joseph when he was sold by his brothers, he was put in this big pit? Guess who paid 20 pieces of silver for him? Others took him out of the pit, but he was sold for 20 pieces of silver into Egypt. They called him into Egypt. There's a lineage that could have stopped right there. Instead of killing him, they decided to send him into Egypt. Egypt was really blessed. I mean, if you look at what happened when Joseph was in Egypt, the great blessings at that nation that occurred upon them. You read the first chapter of the book of Exodus, and there was a king that knew not Joseph. You know what that king thought? What's all these Hebrews doing here? I mean, they're beginning to outnumber us. What if they decided to take over us? See, there's the Arab-Hebrew conflict right there. That's the beginning of the Exodus. They were finally run out, left, and all through the Exodus. But let's end with a thought here in Matthew 1 and 1. When Christ was born, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and I think I mentioned this, carried people into captivity. I'm going to conquer your country and carry you into captivity. The Romans didn't do that. They did carry a few in, but they sent governors out from Rome to watch over a country that they had conquered. Now, these governors were really powerful, because if I had problems, I'm going to call for the Roman army, and they'll come squelch this stuff. So they didn't carry people into captivity. So in 47 B.C., Rome decided, I'm going to appoint a governor over Israel, Judah, that what we call the Hebrews. Now, there were two kind of separate nations, but both overruled, ruled by Egypt. Caesars. Who did they choose? A guy named Herod. We're going to send Herod in 47 B.C. to be the governor over you folks. Herod had a big problem, because these Hebrews wouldn't worship Caesar. Now, some did, but we're talking about spiritual and natural Israel to a point here, too. Okay, they're looking for a king. These Hebrews are looking for a king. So Herod thought, Caesar, I need some help. I need to be king over the person that they're looking for. That's why the Bible says the king of the Jews, they called him at Christ's birth, Herod, king of the Jews. It was an additional title given to him so he could rule over the Hebrews that were waiting for a king. Now, guess where he was from? I've mentioned on the map, it's south of the Dead Sea, Edom. He was an Edomite. Herod was an Edomite through that chain of Esau, where, of course, Joseph and the others were the chain that led up to Christ. He tried to kill Christ, remember, and have him killed. But when we look at that, we can't find, or I can't, there may be, I can't find a name after in the lineage of Esau that it follows Herod. The lineage kind of ends by name. Neither can we find by name a lineage of the Hebrews after the one in Matthew 1 and 1. The Hebrews recognized that lineage, but what name came after Jesus? They said, yeah, Jesus was there, but he wasn't a king, wasn't a prophet. He prophet, priest, and king as we knew, but not following a lineage. So there's no names associated with either lineage after that. How are we blessed today? That lineage still continues, by the way. You know why? The name, this is the generation of Jesus Christ. The reason that lineage still continues, he's still alive. Christ is still alive, representing us. He is our king. You know, so that lineage hasn't stopped there, because today his people, the adopted children into that lineage, God's children, that's the spiritual Israel that we're talking about. So that lineage it's talking about here is still with us today, because the last name, or the name in that lineage, is Christ himself, still alive, sitting at the right hand of God, making intercessions for us. Where's the other lineage? Well, it's out there somewhere. You know, they still, the Ishmaelite, trying to persecute and kill, and they always will. But when we hear on the news about the Palestinians, that's the reason there's a big conflict over Jerusalem belongs to whom, you know. East right now belongs to the Arabs, you know. West is, you know, our commander, our president has just made that recognized as the capital of Jerusalem. But that lineage, it won't stop. I mean, the battle will not stop. But we can kind of see why both can claim Jerusalem as their capital back to Abraham, even, you know, through Ishmael, through his daughter, through Esau, and right back to Abraham through that. Otherwise, they could not. I'm taking too much time. Please come, Brother Gale.